Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport in Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tonight is a special night. Our final Sport in Kansas City game, or Sport in Kansas City Show, I should say, of 2019. And we're doing it live from the Tanners at 143rd and Metcalf in Overland Park, because today is the 20th birthday of this radio station. Sports Radio 810 WHB signed on some 20 years ago today, October 1st, and has gone on to become temporarily the home of the Kansas City Royals, the broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, broadcast home of the Kansas Jayhawks, and I don't know how many years, not to ask Chad, the broadcast home of Sporting Kansas City. So, I'm here with Carter Augustine and Allie Trost. Carter, how are you, man?
Doing great, and what a turnout it is here, and congratulations and happy anniversary, happy birthday to the station. Obviously, I've been on the show since 2013, and it's been a lot of fun, and really happy that you guys are celebrating here today.
There's been a few trophies won, and you and I have been on the call of a couple of those trophy-winning games together for Sporting Kansas City. And Allie Trost is here as well. Allie, you're new to the party. How long have you been an employee at Sports Radio 810?
I mean, I think I've been an employee for maybe 2 months. And in that time, all of these exciting things happening. But it was really great listening all day long to all of the amazing stories, whether it was Alibo, just kind of dishing some knowledge there, hearing from Chad Boger, and then just a plethora of other people, Kevin Harlan. I mean, just what a rich tradition that this radio station has created. So it's been an awesome day.
Well, speaking of that, we have one of the original personalities from this radio station on the phone right now. And he's gone national. In fact, he just got off the air on SiriusXM satellite radio, breaking down an unforgettable day of UEFA Champions League soccer. I was listening to him on my way out here, but he's one of the all-time greats from the Kansas City Wizards. And also, you might not know this, Allie, a little known trivia fact that maybe some people don't know, host of a weekly show with Stephen St. John and former Chiefs player Marcus Spears called Out of Bounds with Tony Miola. Our good buddy Tony Miola is on the phone line now. Tony, thank you so much for giving us some of your time right after you got off the air. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. First off, congratulations to you guys. You know, and I got to say this. And we always talk about Out of Bounds. In 1999, we actually did a show called Tasty Kicks on the radio with Sean Wheelock was the host, and I was his second guy on the show every week. So we go all the way back to 1999, that you guys have done such a great job of promoting the sport of soccer in the city of Kansas City. So congratulations on all that stuff. And now he's bringing up all those names. Chad was really the first guy to get me over to the station. Todd Lebo, all those guys were like, oh, man, we got this thing going on, and you need to be part of this. You know, how can we help out with the team? And you guys have been absolutely incredible to the sport and to that club for 20 years now. So I really appreciate all that.
So you, as I mentioned, the show Out of Bounds, It was not just a soccer show, was it? And by the way, I'm gonna pop a little special guest on the headset for you right now, Tony. See if you recognize this beautiful voice.
Hey, I'm looking for an invitation to Thanksgiving dinner. You got any openings wherever you are, Tony?
Hey, listen, my man, I've been telling you for years, you're always welcome at my Thanksgiving table, man. The St. John family, one of the neatest group of people. This thing has gone way beyond sort of sports. It's gone to friendships and family friendships. And what's up, brother, man? Miss you, and you guys do such a great job. Congratulations.
You know, I miss you, too. And we had some great times doing the show, me, you, and Marcus Spears, Out of Bounds. We talked about everything but sports. And I was telling Nate the story about, you know, and we were talking about the theme was, you know, the relationships we've built over the years and the 20 years that I've been doing this. And Nate's, been here almost as long. Just remembering that you were kind enough to invite my family, including my mother, who's no longer with us, to your house for Thanksgiving a couple of years. And two of the best Thanksgivings that we ever had. And that those are the things, the shows were great. Your time here, playing soccer, that was great. But those are the memories I had, the relationships that I built with people like you and your wonderful family. And I remember you bringing your son to Richie's birthday party at a bowling alley when he was a little boy. And so many things we shared, and really none of it had to do with us being on the air or you being on the field, just us becoming friends and having a relationship because of Sports Radio 810 WHB, and I'll always hold that dear in my heart.
By the way, I didn't know that was a sports show that we did.
Yeah, right.
didn't we do it at Tanner's? We were doing it at Tanner's, right?
We did it at Tanner's. We did it at several places out here. I remember we would try to get to sports, and then Marcus Spears, much like he blocked defenders, would block us from talking about sports. I remember one time we did a whole show on what kind of cologne we wore in high school, and then other people calling in about that. And so I was representing gray flannel, and that's all I remember.
And I think we had, every time Marcus ran up the food bill, we had to go to a different restaurant the next week. I think that's how it went, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a tab, and whenever the tab would end up at the table, somehow Marcus was no longer at the establishment and was left for us.
Yeah. Tony, you were, I don't know how many people know this about you, obviously one of the greatest goalkeepers in American history. But you were an all-around athlete. You were a Division I athlete in more than just soccer. And maybe tell our audience, if they don't remember that, about that a little bit, how big of a sports fan you are across the board and how good you were maybe at a couple of other sports.
And I spent many nights trying to get him to be the Chiefs kicker. And we tried to make that happen, right?
As a matter of fact, he did. This is true. This is true. Look, I love sports. My kids play. I played three sports in high school. I played two sports in college. I hate the fact that kids can't do that anymore, but I get change and all of that, and I've got kids going through it now. And one of the funniest stories when I first got there, I went on a radio station my first day there, and my general manager was outside the window. I remember we were downtown. I can't remember the station, and they didn't know I was a Yankee fan, you know. And they were like, "Oh, are you?" The interviewer, I forget who it was. The interviewer was saying, "Oh, are you a fan of any other sport?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a big Yankee fan. I'm a big baseball fan." They said, "What do you know about the Kansas City Royals?" And I kind of stopped, you know, because if you remember the Royals and the Yankees, that was the rivalry, right?
Yeah.
I looked at him and I go, "You guys had that guy, that guy who cheated with the pine tar, right?" And everyone was silent. And my general manager was outside the window giving me the slash, like, "You got to stop. This is George Brett." And of course, I knew what I was talking about, and we joked about it, we laughed, but it was like that really awkward moment of silence on radio, which no one really knows how to react. I kind of knew what I was doing. I was trying to break the ice a little bit. I don't know if it worked or not in Kansas City, but I ended up meeting George Brett at your new studios. We talked about it, and then we kind of became friends while I was there and all that stuff. But so my memories go back literally to the first day I got to Kansas City. I love sports. I still root for the Chiefs because of my time going to games with Stephen St. John and talking about the Chiefs on a Monday morning, and it wasn't nearly as good back then, but it was the Trent Green days and you know, that whole group of players, which was a decent team at the time, but now they've taken it to another level. Yeah, but I love seeing competition made. I love seeing, you know, players battle, and that's fun to me. That's sort of my drug in life, is watching people compete.
Hey, man, one of my best memories that you're talking about the Yankees that just popped in my head now was after we did the show, we were at a casino doing the show, and we watched the Game 7 between the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Aaron Boone home run game.
Yeah,
and I've never seen a booth, and that booth was nearly torn apart by Tony Meehl. Who else was it? Was it Sevagnin? Who else was in there with us?
It was me, you, and Terry Sevagnin were at that game.
That's right. And we won one of the most historical games between the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there the whole time watching, and you can imagine what it was like to watch that game with Meola. He was going crazy. And I don't know if we were invited back to that casino after that night, but I remember you were pretty happy after that game, Tony.
Yeah, no, I still have to wear an ankle bracelet because of that night. I can't go into the casino, but that's okay.
Well, hey, Tony, I tell you what, this is a really cool thing. I wish you could be here in person to see how many of our listeners that have been listening all the way back to when you were doing the show here are out here to see everybody. We got Seth Sinovic and Matt Beasler lined up. They're ready to come on, and I remember the first time Matt came on the show, he told us his dad listened to our station every single day. And you're a big part of this, man. I just want you to know that Steven and I got to have you on every week once I started doing the show with Steven too, but we're always going to remember that. And you're always home here, man. This is whether you claim us or not, you know, Kansas City's one of your homes. You know that, right?
It always will be. And I really appreciate that. I think of it as my second home. And I do want to say this for Sporting Kansas City fans. Look, it wasn't great this year. It didn't go the way they wanted it to, but I do know that that organization is looking to get it right, and they will get it right. So don't fret. It's a one-off here, in my opinion, with Sporting Kansas City. But these things happen, and they'll get it right, as I said.
Tony, I got to jump in here. The theme of the day has just been memories and everyone's favorite memory. What was your favorite memory doing your show at Sports Radio 810?
My favorite memory was seeing the faces of all the guys when I got there. And Nate, correct me, or Steven, I think the first studio, I don't remember the town, but was it in Raytown? Did I have that right?
Independence. Off of 27th and Sterling.
Yeah. That's right. And it had this straight up one like pole antenna in the back that I'll never forget. It was an old rundown building, and everyone was trying to build this thing. And I remember going into the new studios for the first time and seeing the smile on everybody's face, and I was obviously a tiny part of that, but seeing everyone and the excitement. And then I will say this, because I knew Steven from really day one, was seeing you get the opportunity to do the morning show. That was, once you moved to the morning show, that was it. I mean, you've kicked ass ever since. You're one of the best in the country, and now you got a partner over the years in Nate that really compliments you. But those were two things that I remember about that station.
How about this? Did you know that Steven is the only on-air guy that was here on October 1st, 1999, that is still here on the radio 20 years later? Tony, how about that?
Yeah, and he'll be there for another 20 years because he's that good. And congratulations to you, Steve. You know, I love you, man. I love what you guys do. I love coming on when I'm in town. I appreciate all of it. And I wish you guys another 20 years, man.
Man, I love you, too, and I love your family. And you were one of the first guys, you know, big-name athletes that legitimized my career by coming on the show with me. And so you had a big part in this. And so I always have a debt of gratitude to you as well, my man.
You got it, brother. Give everybody a hug, man. Hey, congrats, guys. Great stuff. And again, I wish you guys another 20 years.
All right, Tony. Hey, we really appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
You got it, guys. Have a good night.
All right, that is Tony Miola, one of the legends for Sporting Kansas City and one of the legends for Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Matt Beisler joining us on the show, Seth Sinovic as well, Steven.
And he said for me to give everyone a hug for him. So bring it in, everybody.
Yeah, let's go.
Bring it in.
I'm like already, I'm jumping in for
right,
the hug.
There, hey.
Yeah, group hug.
Wait a minute.
If only people can see this, right?
Calm down now.
There's a couple of pillows there.
Yeah, thank you very much. I enjoyed that.
Well, hey, and come on down, folks. We're going to be here. I mean, the party is going to go till 7, but it's going to go past 7. We're going to hang out. It's so cool to see so many familiar faces. I see Conrad McGorkin here in the background. Jake Gutierrez is here. Dan Ferguson, all kinds of people. So come down and join us. Matt and Seth are going to join us next right here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on the 20th anniversary of Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Continues on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB, and the parade of big name guests continues as we are here at the Tanners at 143rd and Metcalf celebrating the 20th anniversary of Sporting Kansas City. We just had Tony Miola on the show. Stephen St. John made a little cameo for us. This is Carter Augustine and myself here right now, joined by Sporting Kansas City captain, man who has now surpassed the 300 appearance mark, the only player in Sporting Kansas City history to ever do that. And, of course, Kansas City guy, too, born and raised right here. Matt Beisler joins us. And I understand, Matt, that you know a thing or two about this restaurant that we're at right now as well. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. This was a big place for us to stop by, neighborhood bar and grill when I grew up. And then also when I was old enough to drink, we would come back here for the summers in between college years and meet up with all of our old buddies. So, yeah, I spent a lot of dinners here and many late nights as well.
So when we talk about this 20th anniversary, you were one of the first people I thought of about, you know, having come on the Sporting KC show, obviously because you're from Kansas City, but you've been coming on a regular basis on the morning show since, I want to say, if it wasn't your rookie season, it was your second season.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a good decade, right, that you've been a regular presence on the morning show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Time's flown by. But I always enjoy coming on with you guys. And I think what you guys have done for us, you know, we always talk about, you know, trying to grow the sport. And just with how much growth that we've seen within the league and within Kansas City, I mean, you guys play a major role in that. So I guess thank you for allowing me to come on your show almost every week and to talk soccer. And I know that we have a lot of fun, and that's really what it's all about, you know, being on the radio and just enjoying yourself and talking sports.
Yeah.
Is there anything he does that annoys you when you go on the radio show?
Just one?
I don't know. Yeah, seriously. I think we always joke about off air is, you know, because we don't have too long of a segment usually, because I'm driving into practice, because that's kind of where the timing fits for me. And it's about a 20-minute segment, and I always say, like, if we actually talk about soccer, then it's a success. Because it usually takes us, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to get into it, and then there's always something crazy going on with Gary Lezak and with Jake and Steven, but it's all good.
You know what, though, is I've told this story off the air. I don't know if I've ever told the story on the air, though, but the evolution of you becoming a regular guest on our show, I remember it was back in those days when it was the Wizards playing at Community America Ballpark, and Robo, who we all know, you know, is obviously the media relations guru for Sporting Kansas City. He knew that I was a soccer fan and was willing to talk some soccer, so he would, and back then it was hard to get anybody to talk soccer on the air. The team, I mean, it was playing in a minor league baseball stadium, and it hadn't quite had that explosion yet. And we had tried a few different guests out, and I told him, I at the time, I said, look, on our show, we like to goof around, we like to have some fun, and we like to develop personalities. And when we keep having a different guy on every week, it's kind of becoming the same cliche answers about one game at a time. And that's not going to work for this sport, because we don't have a big enough audience yet for them to, you know, to want to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, well, who do you want? And I was like, what about this Beisler guy? I mean, he's from Kansas City. Let's try him out, you know. And I'll be honest, like, I didn't know you were going to be any good. you know, like, you were like, you know, you might have still been living in your parents' basement at that time.
I was just trying to make the team at the
time. Right, right. Yeah. And he was like, well, he doesn't even really play that much. And I said, well, but he's from here, and he gets it. And then you came on, and you might have been lying to us, but you said, right, the first time you came on, you said, you know, hey, man, I listen to you guys. I've been listening to you since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And your dad listened to the show. And it just felt like this guy gets us. And I had no idea you were going to go on to become, like, you know, the team's leader in games played, the only Kansan to ever play in the World Cup and all that stuff. And I guess you probably didn't either.
Yeah,
at that time.
No idea. No idea. I mean, yeah, it's like you said, it's been a long journey, but everything's just happened so fast. And I actually still remember, because I grew up a big fan of sports radio. Like, even in middle school. You know, like, growing up in elementary school, sports radio is boring.
Right.
No offense.
Of course.
But, you know, you're riding with your dad, and I'm always like, this is terrible. Like, can we listen to some music or something? And and my wife was the same way, actually. So my wife's dad is a huge sports guy, 810 fan. And she actually told me a good story. So in order for him to change the dial off of 810, she had to name 3 current Royals players. and so she knew more Royals players than I did when I was in elementary school because of that reason. But, I always remember being a big fan, and especially in middle school, I feel like I was kind of one of the first ones in my group of friends to, like, listen to sports radio, and I was trying to get people, like, oh, like, no, you guys don't think it's cool, but it actually is. So, like, we should start listening to it more. And I do remember the first night I got drafted at the MLS Super Draft in St. Louis. And I had just given a speech on national television on ESPN2 for the MLS draft. And I was actually more nervous like 5 minutes later because I had to go on air on 810 with Kevin.
Wow.
And he was interviewing me. That was my actual first ever appearance on 810 was the day I got drafted. And I was super nervous. I remember
wow.
that.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're trying to get your dad to come over. I don't know if he's going to make it over here or not because – it's got to be the biggest trip for him in the world to, like, because since he was a guy that listened to the radio station all the time, now his son's, like, not only a soccer star, but he's, like, a weekly guest on the show that he used to listen to. You
yeah.
know?
It's amazing. I mean, the reach that you guys have and everything that you guys do. I mean, there's you won't believe how many people come up to me and say, like, oh, I listen to you on the radio, and they talk about the jokes we make and everything.
Yeah.
That's the coolest part for me.
Okay, I'm going to go through some memories and just kind of get your thoughts on them real quick. I think I see your pops making his way over here. These are just ones that stand out to me off the top of my head. Obviously, when you guys won MLS Cup, I mean, that happened on our radio station, 2013. You guys had just won U.S. Open Cup in 2012, and maybe I tie the two of them together, but for the franchise and for the rebrand, for all that was like the piece that had to happen to culminate everything that came together. I'm just curious for you, like, when you think back to that moment, you know, playing in that frozen game and all that, what it meant to the city, what it meant to the organization, what it meant to you, what are some of the memories that you have about it?
I mean, now it means a lot more, but when you're in the moment, you have no idea. I mean, you're just, for one, I was young, so I didn't really know what was going on. I was just trying to survive and compete and all those things. But when you're in the moment, you don't really have time to take a step back and, like, analyze, you know, what's going on. And it all just kind of happens. And the Royals would probably be the same way. Like, to talk about, like, that 3 or 4 year period, it just kind of happens. And before you know it, it's like, oh, wow, we just won. So for me, like, that was one of the coolest parts is, like, we did this rebrand. We were like, we took a step in 2011, and then another one in 12. We got like a little taste winning the Open Cup, and then it happened the very next year because we were just so hungry. And it was one of, you know, the best years of my life for sure, 2013.
So the very next year, and by the way, Parker Beasler is here too as well, and she absolutely has Amanda's smile. It's the cutest thing ever, but. The very next year, you're playing in the World Cup. And I have to be honest, like, so we threw those watch parties down in the Power and Light District. Stephen St. John and I hosting those up on the stage. We made Matt Beasler T-shirts. Beasler wants you. Did you ever get one of those, by the way?
Yeah, I did. I can't wear that myself.
No, of course, yeah, but you gotta have it, right?
It's in my basement somewhere.
We did a giveaway thing where we went to a couple restaurants in town to give away these T-shirts, and we didn't know how big of a deal it was going to be. We showed up to the first, we showed up at 11 o'clock, and that's what time people were supposed to get there to get the shirts. And at 10:30, there was a line all the way around the entire building for people that wanted your T-shirts. And then we got up on stage for the watch parties, and there's 12,000 people in the place,
yeah,
going crazy. And then you pulled your hamstring the first game, and I remember texting you like, is it appropriate to text this guy, like, while he's in Brazil at the World Cup? But I've also known him for 5 years, and I feel like he's a buddy, so I think it's okay. But, like, I remember texting back and forth with you, like, how are you feeling, man?
Yeah.
What a whirlwind that must have been for you.
Yeah, Brazil was crazy. I mean, another, I guess, one of the pinnacles so far in my career, just representing the U.S. At a World Cup. I honestly didn't dream about that. Like, I dreamed about being a professional athlete, but, like, the World Cup, I mean, it was just so far away that I never thought about it growing up. But one of my favorite memories about Brazil was we were in this foreign country, and Brazil doesn't have great Wi-Fi, right? Especially the areas that we were going to. We were flying all over the country and on bus rides, and so – and it was, what, it was like 6 years ago? So, like, social media and, like, 4G, and it was just different. It was harder to be connected to what was going on back home. And so we were kind of in this bubble. But the one thing that I did feel, I felt the love and the support from Kansas City, especially. It was so powerful. Like, I mean, I could hardly even, like, text you back because of our Wi-Fi, but, like, I could actually feel somehow, like, I could feel what was going on back in Kansas City, and it was really cool to, like, see the videos and just feel the support.
Do you – I know we're looking back on memories, and this 20 years of the radio station, 20 years of MLS growing during that time as well. Do you look back and see kind of the difference soccer is now as when you were growing up, and maybe the coverage that it gets, and of course you have played such a huge part of it. I have to imagine you have to be pretty proud of that aspect of it.
For sure. Very proud. You know, I think we still have a long ways to go and continuing to grow the game, but you guys have been a huge part of helping that, just giving the game a platform here in Kansas City and actually taking the time to follow it. And I would say the biggest difference is just like the conversations that you have and the questions you get in the community and on the street when you see somebody that you know or just a random fan. Like when I first started, it was like, hey, like do you have another job? Or like, you know, are like, do you get paid to play? I mean, those were the questions that I got. And I mean, to be fair, I guess that's just how it was. But now it's completely different. I mean, now the knowledge of the game and within our city is so much higher. I mean, people are coming up and they're asking you about like specific tactics and events that happened in the game and matchups for the following week. And so that part's really cool to me, just like to see that growth.
Yeah, I mean, over the 10 years we've been having you on, it that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. It was like, let's talk about everything else and then see if we can sneak in a couple of soccer questions at the end.
Yeah.
On the audience. And I just feel like it just, the pendulum swung to, by, you know, these last few years, it's, let's goof around with Matt a little bit at the beginning of the interview, then let's get into some soccer talk. Let's talk about the team. Let's talk about the league. And our audience is educated enough now, and even if they're not diehard soccer fans, they know enough about what's going on with Sporting Kansas City that we can keep them engaged. And I think it's been really cool to watch that evolution. And, you know, I think that was the right approach. If we had just tried to do nothing but soccer early on, we probably would have tuned some people out,
yeah,
you know?
I agree.
But then we got, you know, it was like, and then now, even if you weren't, like, I've come across so many people that are like, hey, man, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I love when Beasler comes on your show because they feel like you're part of the family, you know, you're part of the audience and all that stuff. And that's been really cool. The other memory I wanted to say, especially seeing Parker here now, the day she was born, Matt sends me a text because what island country were you in at the time?
We were at St. Vincent and the Grenadines, so SVG is what they call it for short.
And such a remote island in the Caribbean that you guys, is it true you guys had to fly a couple of, like, propeller puddle jumpers to get there to play the game that day?
Yeah, we did. We flew in, we all met in Miami, and we took a team charter from Miami to Barbados, and then we took a prop plane. We were in three different groups because the plane only could fit like 10 people, so we took three separate prop planes to like the next island and stayed there at this resort, and then we had to go to we had to take another small plane, but we didn't do that right away. We waited until like right before the game. And we took another plane to the actual island to go and play the game. We played the game, and then we were going to do the reverse to get back home.
So not exactly. You can't just, like, pick up and fly home if your wife goes into labor. And I remember you telling me, like, I know she's going to have the baby while I'm there. And so I'm doing the morning show, Carter, and I get a text message, and there's a picture. And he's like, so this happened. And I texted back.
That was the morning of the game, right?
Yeah, the morning of the game. And I texted back, well, can I announce this to Kansas City that you've had a baby? And hang on, we got to call all of our friends and family and make sure that they don't, you know, hear about it on the radio first. But I do, I swear this is a true story, because you're pretty upset. I mean, obviously, you're pretty bummed. There's the birth of your first child, and you weren't there for it. And some of this was just me trying to make you feel better, but I said, you're going to score a goal today.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the most unforgettable thing, and you're going to be able to tell your daughter about that the rest of your life. And that was the only goal you've ever scored for the national team, right?
Yeah.
Boom. How incredible is that?
I'm going to give you some credit then.
I was just trying to cheer you up more than anything.
It is. It's an amazing story. It's It's awesome. I mean, I have the ball just sitting up. It's sitting in Parker's room. She has no idea the meaning of it right now. She thinks it's just like a flat soccer ball.
You're going to get so mad when she goes out and kicks it around in the backyard someday.
No, that's all right. That'll make me happy. If she's kicking a soccer ball, I don't care what kind of ball it is.
Yeah.
No, but the other thing, too, so that she there was a big story in the New York Times the next morning about what you just described, like my experience and Parker and one of our friends who – you know, is either connected with New York Times, but they got, like, the actual printout and the hard copy of it, and framed it for us. And so I thought that was cool. Like,
yeah.
I mean, my daughter was in the New York Times, like, on day one of her birth. Like, I don't know. That's just a cool thing.
That's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
boy,
I know.
What are the possibilities when you're a big enough deal that you're written about in the New York Times when you're born?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Well, hey, Matt, we really appreciate everything that you've done for the radio station, being a part. And I will say this for Matt as well. Anytime Chad Boger calls and says, hey, could Matt help us with a charity event here? Could Matt do an appearance for us there? A lot of times I hesitate to ask because I know you guys get pulled in a million different directions, but there's never been a single time where I've gotten anything other than just a quick yes. I mean, you've always been so eager to help our radio station and help the community when we do things like this, and tonight's another example. So we all appreciate everything you've done, and going forward, you know, obviously you're going to be a part of the station forever, so we really appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it goes both ways.
And I'm disappointed we didn't get Greg on the show. He apparently turned it down. He's got the baby. Oh, well, here you go, Allie.
Hi, yeah, so I jumped back in. I was going to try to get Mr. Beasler over here, but he's got his hands full. Parker is. But she did have the headset on, so while her first day started on the New York Times, it might end up with a radio or TV career.
She was
rocking it.
Yeah,
so.
She looks like a natural. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have another Kansas City kid. In fact, this was the double play combination for Brian McCray's Little League Baseball team, Matt Beasler and Seth Sinovic. From what I understand, we'll talk about that with Seth, another Kansas City kid who's had this amazing career for Sporting Kansas City as we are celebrating 20 years of Sports Radio 810 WHB on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our thanks to Tony Miola and Matt Beasler for joining us on the show. And we are now joined by another Sporting Kansas City legend and hometown hero, defender Seth Sinovic, who, this is going to be kissing up right off the bat, Carter, but you know I'm not above that.
No, that's actually your MO. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That is my MO. So I'm staying character here. Seth, I've said this to you in person before, but I'll say it on the air. When I talk to my children about athletes they should look up to, you're the first name that I bring up. Because to me, you're the definition of perseverance. You were a walk-on in college. By the time your college career was over, you were a team captain. It seems like the running joke that people always used to make. You know, they're always looking for somebody to replace Seth, but then Seth is back and wins the job. And you're not at the end of your career yet, so you maybe don't appreciate this till it's over, but I have covered professional athletics for 20 years, so I've been around it long enough to know this. If you play for over a decade in professional sports, I don't care what league it is, it's incredible. It's an incredible testament to somebody's work ethic, consistency, stick-to-itiveness, and all those things, and that's what you embody to me, man. So, anyways, I'm just saying that to start off the show because I don't know. Are you at a point yet where you can appreciate that? Because most guys I talk to say they don't really think about that till they've been retired for a while and look back on it. You know.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the kind words. I appreciate that. I don't know. I don't know if I've really thought about it that much. I just kind of keep grinding, and you know, as long as I'm physically able to play and motivated to play, which I still very much so am, I'm gonna keep going. And I think once the career is done, whenever that may be, I think I'll have a little bit more time to reflect on accomplishments or you know, the ride that it's been.
Well, you certainly have a lot of them because you and Seth and Matt are the three guys that have been on the field for all of the trophies that have been won since Sporting Kansas City rebranded to Sporting KC. But I want to go back further with you, and one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, we're celebrating 20 years of Sports Radio 810 WHB, and you were telling us before we came on the air that you were listening even before it was actually 810, back in the 1510 days. Is that true?
I was, yeah. My dad is a very big sports radio guy, and I've definitely taken that on, taken that torch. So I've been listening for as long as I can remember. Anytime we're riding in the car with Dad, we were listening to sports radio. So,
do you remember when 810 started up as well? If you're back then listening to 1510,
I don't, because I really wasn't in control of the radio. So I do remember 1510 and going to that occasionally, but yeah, I don't remember the exact time. Obviously, it's about 20 years, but yeah, I've got tons of sports memories through 1510 and 810. So.
And Seth, your sister Emily works in the media business at a different platform. She works in TV. Did you ever consider at any point in time getting into sports media or media of any kind as well, listening to 810, 1510, and then seeing her do that?
I really haven't. I probably should have, especially because she's older than me, and she kind of started that by going to she went to Northwestern for journalism, and yeah, she's been in the TV business for a while. I think it'd be fun. I just haven't really put a lot of thought into that yet.
I guess you got to talk to Benny Fellhaber.
Well, he did make his debut as color commentator with the Swope Park Rangers earlier this season. How did that go for you?
That was fun. I need to work on like my monotoneness, for lack of a better word. But no, it was a good time. I enjoyed it. Obviously, I had a great guy to call the game with. So yeah. No, I had a blast. It was good. Yeah.
So is that a self-scout, the monotone thing? Did you go back and watch yourself, or did somebody tell you that?
That was a self-scout. I could hear myself throughout, and I was for whatever reason I couldn't change it up. But
he said it right after the game to me, yeah. And I was like, no, you're fine. I will say he did a Tony Romo type dissecting of a play, and I think maybe this is because you know the system so well with Sporting KC, but that was phenomenal. He's like, he needs to step up. The defensive end needs to step up into this area because they're going to try and get it there. And right when he does it, you see Paolo yelling at the D-mid. I don't remember who it was.
One of the Rad brothers.
Yeah, one of the Rad bros. And Paolo yells at him, and he steps up, and 2 seconds later they try and pass it in, and he's right there. And so he's got a little Tony Romo quality to him in the color.
I like Romo. I had him on the mind of going into that game trying to figure out an opportunity to do that. So
it
worked out well.
It's interesting, too, because I remember we talked to Matt Beisler, and it was shortly after he was injured. He was watching the game up top from the press box, which is where all of us watched the game from, and he said, it looks so much easier. Was there anything that, like, opened your eyes from looking at that perspective and calling the game that way that maybe you could bring to the field?
He's right. It looks so much easier from above, and it's easy to be critical from above, especially at the bird's eye view there, because it looks like there's so much space on the field, and there's really not. it's just hard to describe, but there's not that much space. So, yeah, there's definitely things. There's things I take from every single game that I watch. You know, I'll be watching Liverpool on the weekend, who I'm a big fan of, and Andy Robertson is one of my favorite left backs to watch. There's Luis Martins, who's been playing the last few games for us. I'll take things from him and try different things in practice and maybe translate them to the game. So I'm always learning and trying to make myself a better player.
So basically that's what talk radio is all about, is the fat guy that's sitting on the couch that, you know, why didn't he pass it over there? Why didn't they do this? And that's kind of what, I mean, that's what the industry is in a lot of ways. So I'm curious, if you were listening to 1510 and 810 with your dad in the car when you were a kid, and then you became a professional athlete, and I know you listen to the show sometimes on your way to training and stuff, do you listen to talk radio differently now? You're like, these idiots don't know what they're talking about, or they're too critical. Like, has it changed the way you consume sports media since you became a professional athlete yourself?
As far as the radio goes, no. I actually think this, I'm sucking up to you guys now, but
right,
I actually
yes.
think that you guys do all across the board with 810. You guys do a really good job, and you guys are very well prepared, especially because I can relate to the soccer side of things. I think you guys do a great job. So I don't think radio. I think radio probably gets a bad rep, being lumped into everything else. But the Twitterverse is just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got an opinion on there. I still remember. I think it was the Sweet 16 game against Michigan that KU was playing, and I was watching that game, and I was about to tweet something out about one of the players made a mistake late in the game because we kind of blew the lead, and I was like, I shouldn't do this. Like, it's a lot harder than it looks, so that's kind of something I take from that.
Because you've been through it. I always try to remind myself that, like, when we're doing the games, that I know just playing in the over 30 league, I think that game's going real fast. Uh-huh. And then if you see, like, if some video happens to come out, you're like, we look like we are walking out there.
Very comparable.
Yeah. My point is, like, it's like in my mind when I'm out there playing, I'm like, this game's going fast. Yeah. Oh, boy, man, I just really skinned that guy. And then you go back and look, and you're like, we're going in super slow motion compared to what the guys at the real professional level are doing.
Yeah, you know? you're looking down, and you're like, play the pass, it's obvious, and you don't realize there's two professional guys trying to take the ball from him at that very moment.
And possibly break your legs if you don't get rid of the ball quickly enough. And, yeah, we fail at it all because we're fans, and it's sure. It's kind of the nature of being a fan, but hopefully you remember that. Do you have any big memories of any moments that maybe you were listening to, A-10, not even maybe involved in our show, but whether it's about the Royals in the World Series or KU in the National Championship or anything like that that really stand out to you?
Yeah, so I still remember the A-10 call, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the 2008 National Championship for KU.
Yep.
That was one of my favorite memories. If I ever go watch, like, videos of that type of thing, I'll make sure that I've got the radio call in the background for it, which is... Yeah, that's probably my biggest memory.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Seth will text me some thoughts about a KU basketball game that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you do nowadays. If you think about tweeting something out, you just text some of your buddies instead. And then you felt like, okay, I got it out there. I said my piece, but I didn't put it out for the whole world.
You've become my guy to vent to. So yeah.
I appreciate that.
More people should be like that. Yeah. This is a PSA. If you want to tweet something really rude, offensive, mad,
just text your buddies.
Text your friends.
Yeah, that's
hit up the group chat.
There you go. Hey, Seth, we really appreciate it. And I do mean it. I think we all agree. I mean, you've been a fantastic ambassador for Kansas City this whole time. You know, and I know you said you want to keep playing for quite a while, and so we wish you the best of luck going forward with all that as well. But for the past 10 years that you've been in Kansas City, you've done such a great job representing this team and this town. So thanks a lot for joining us. We really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, that's Seth Sinovic, and that's going to do it for us, guys. This hour kind of flew by, didn't it?
It did.
We just, you know, some great guests.
Just
great memories here.
Yeah, great memories. And, again, I'm so impressed with the turnout, and I think that speaks to volumes to what you guys have done here over the past 20 years at Sports Radio 810.
Well, while I'm getting a little nostalgic, too, I did want to say this. I've been thinking about it the whole time we've been planning this show. It doesn't feel like these are memories because they weren't that long ago, but the first trophy that I ever got to broadcast as a play-by-play announcer, I did KU women's basketball for 14 years, made a couple of Sweet 16s, but never won a trophy. I guess I did do the sidelines for KU, and they went to a couple bowl games and won them, but I was a sideline reporter. First time I ever got to broadcast a championship was the 2015 U.S. Open Cup in Philadelphia, and I got to call that game with you, Carter.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that moment, and it's cool to get to share memories like that together because I remember us calling. I went back and listened to that radio broadcast a few times, and your analysis of every penalty kick, I actually remember thinking, that Carter – is doing a really good job analyzing these penalties because I was just losing my mind, you know, whether Sporting scored or not. And so anyways, it's just cool. It's cool. You've been a part of all the trophies that Sporting won as a broadcaster.
It is great memories, and I'm a huge radio nerd. I was a big sports radio nerd, just like Matt and Seth have said, growing up. Some of my best memories with my dad in the car, and I've always loved listening to games on the radio. Just I love how people can paint the picture. So, yeah, I feel – very fortunate to be doing what I'm doing, and it, like you said, I'll always remember that as well. Standing there with you on the call, that was a wonderful night, and I've listened to that call a few times as well. I'm with you, man. That was a really cool memory to have.
And Allie, we're still changing her diapers when it comes to her time at Sports Radio 810.
You've been here for two. Yeah, you're expecting a child. I'm basically the infant of Sports Radio 810.
That's right. But. Yeah, we should have said that. Good luck, Seth, as well, by the way, on the baby coming up. You know, you don't need to say anything. You can if you want. Well, are you
thank
nervous?
Thank you very much.
You ready?
Very nervous, very excited, though.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, and you can take all your cues from Matt and Amanda who are walking out right now. So that's going to do it for us on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We will see you next year. That's it for the season. We'll have a Loke come on just in just a second, right after this on Sports Radio 810.